Good morning. I really thought hard and long and hard about what I wanted to share today. And as I worked through it, I kept on coming back to the same thing, the same verse again and again. We all have favourite verses. I mean, the Bible's full of them. There's lots of them that I love. But the one that I keep coming back to again and again is 2 Chronicles Chapter 7, verse 14, which reads, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." And what gets me about that verse is, you actually have to understand it in the context that it's given, because on its own, it kind of doesn't fit well. You know, what the scene we've got, they've just dedicated the temple. The temple was finally finished after years and years and years of constructing it. And chapter 6 of Chronicles is all about the dedication of the temple and what they did and how they did it. And then you've got this huge, big, long prayer by Solomon as he dedicated it and prayed for what would happen in this place of worship. And then, at the end of his prayer, the fire from heaven fell on the altar and consumed everything that was there. Amazing. The sense of God's presence must have been incredible. And they followed that up by offering some sacrifices and then having a feast of dedication. And then, the following night, God wakes up Solomon in his sleep with the words that we see here. God wakes him up with a warning, and he talks about, what if things go wrong? Why on earth, when they've just had this incredible opening of the temple, when they are on a roll, on a high, absolutely looking forward to what God's going to do next, and God comes along and says, "Calm down, boys," because you've fallen off the tracks before and you're going to do it again. And so what we have is God coming in with this incredible warning. And in the warning that he gives, he starts off actually in verse 13, and he talks to them about the fact that a time will come when I'm going to close the heavens again. There'll be no rain. Grasshoppers and locusts will come and eat the land. Plagues, pestilence, whatever word you like to use, might come upon the land. And then he says, "Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." But the thing is, to get the context, you've actually got to go beyond the verse, because straight after that, he says in verse 15, "Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place," speaking of the temple. And then in verse 17, he says to them, says to Solomon quite specifically, "As for you, if you walk before me as my father David walked, even to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your throne as I covenanted with your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man to be a ruler in Israel." So that's the surround we've got. Incredible excitement of the opening of the temple, the fire of God falling, and then this warning that when things go wrong, you need to get down on your knees, but you also need to continue to suggest that if we stop there at verse 15, we're missing the fact that God also went on to say, you actually have to, once you've turned from your wicked way, you've actually got to do what I told you to do. You've got to stick with the things that I've told you to do. So we come to the verse, and what do we get there? Look at the top two lines. If my people, who's he talking to? He is talking to us here. He's talking. Sometimes I think I've heard people preach this verse as though God is talking to those people out there, the people who don't do his will. But in actual fact, the words, if my people, that's you and I, that is the people of God, who are called by my name. I mean, that can't refer to the heathen around. It cannot refer to the sinners. That is God's people. That is us. So he's talking to us. And we need to listen when God talks to us. If my people called by my name will humble themselves. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on the humble themselves. But I kind of feel, as I was reading this through, that sometimes we overemphasize that, because we go on from that and there are three key verbs: pray, seek, and turn. That is how we humble ourselves. The issue isn't so much in the humility, but it's what we do with it afterwards. So, based on that, I wanted to have a look then at this whole thing about prayer. And recently, we did, about a month ago, we had 40 hours of prayer. And I've had a look through all of the submissions that came in from that to Dean. And he's going to be talking about that more next Sunday, I believe. But there were some things that stood out to me as I read through that. And the key words that kept on coming up through the various prayers and words that were given were that we need to love. We want a bubbling up of joy in our midst. We want unity in this place. We need to wait. We need to listen. We need to seek God first. And I'll read out a few things that I extracted from that he said, that people have submitted as part of their prayers on that day. One of them says this: what part of Christ do I have in me when I continue to sin? To allow sin to have any part in my life. I want to surrender, God. Help me to surrender fully. You died for me, died, beaten, unjustly accused, unwanted, unloved, deserted, nailed to the cross, agonized in pain for 6 long hours for mankind. You are the seed that died that we might live. And then another comment, thinking of those who have left, and there was a real sense of sadness came over the person who wrote this. Started thinking about prickly people who were easily offended, and I felt the rebuke of God. You did not love them enough. Help me, Lord, to see people like you see them. Love them like you love them. And they felt to blow the shofar loudly in that. You know, intolerance is the enemy of unity and love. Humility, to see less of myself, to see myself, as less important than others. Intolerance, to elevate myself. and my needs above all others. God cannot stand our intolerance and our lack of humility. God has given us our answer in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. On the Sunday morning, sunlight came streaming in through those doors at 7 a.m. as the sun came up. And it was so absolutely wonderful because it just, even though we've got our blackout curtains, it still lit up the whole place for that first hour. It was just amazing. And we sang a few things, and about 8 o'clock, I walked over to those doors over there, and I saw that rainbow that you can see in the picture there. And it was like God saying, hey, I've heard you guys. I've heard your prayers. I've heard you. And God was smiling over us. And that, for me, was an amazing sign. Some of the prayers that were prayed and were listed in the summary, there were prayers of confession that God would search us all. We need to do that. There were prayers of intercession for the prodigals. Come home. Come home. The Father so misses you. He's always looking for you. There's an awareness that over the past 40 years of seed sowing via LBC, there have been generations of people that have heard the word or the gospel. COVID is plowing up the land and bringing the seed to the surface, but we need to water it with love and prayer and ask God to give growth and accomplish his purposes so that he gets the glory. Some sow, some water, but God gives us the growth. Also, the need to pray for our leaders, for our elders, for their protection. Pray for the lost, for the so what ladies and their husbands, for the alpha groups we've been involved in over the years, that we be spirit-led and have spiritual gifts operating in our midst. And for evangelism, that our lives are really become a message to those who are around us. We want people to look at us and see God and see the message of the gospel through us and the way we live our lives. So those are some of the things that came through in that 40 hours of prayer. And as I said, for me, having that rainbow on the Sunday morning was so amazing. And the fact that I looked out those doors and it was right over where the center of Lincoln would be. Just amazing. One of the things we do within this church is we have a group of people who meet on every second Wednesday night to intercede on behalf of the church. Now, a lot of people seem to have a problem with that word, and the word intercession. But I really need to just unpack it because it's actually an incredibly simple word. We have no problem with the fact that a lawyer will intercede for us when we have an issue in life and we need someone to speak on our behalf. Well, that's all intercessory prayer is. It's us standing as that lawyer and speaking on behalf of that person and presenting their needs to God. We're all called. It's something every single one of you must do. I don't think there'll be anyone here who has not at some stage prayed for somebody else and effectively interceded for them, because we want what's best for them. So I want to invite anyone who'd like to join us. If you're interested in joining us on Wednesday night, when we're going to be gathering next to pray intercessory prayer for this church, for its leaders, for its future, come and have a talk to me after the service, because we'd love to have you. Anyone who looks forward to just waiting on God and speaking on behalf of others. So it's out. I put it out there for you. Now the second verb that was in that scripture was seek. Seek my face. How much of scripture talks about seeking? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Every day. I love technology and I'm always looking for the newest technology. And often we go seeking the technology, we go seeking all kinds of experiences, but God says to us here, I want you to seek only one thing, and that's me. Seek me. Seek my face. Forget about everything else. Where are you going to find him? There's only two places you can find God. One, obviously, is here in the Word. And the other is on your knees. It's not enough when we sit back and we just wait. We have to seek for God and put him at the center of everything that we do, of every moment of our lives, every second of our waking and sleeping. Are you going to give him first place? Will you put him in the center of everything that you want and do? Or are we going to be distracted? I've been really challenged, actually, in this COVID time, because I hear people talking about vaccines and non-vaccines. I don't give a damn whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. What I care about is, are you seeking God? Are you putting God first? If all we're talking about is vaccines and viruses and anything else that's going on, if all we're talking about is our favourite car, our favourite new toy, my favourite electronics, I've lost it. But if I'm talking about God, God is my centre. God is my focus. God is at the centre of everything that I want and love and do. Then all of the rest of it doesn't matter. What is the old... We'd sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Are we ready to put him absolutely first in our thinking. Because I think we need to. And that's what God's calling us to do. That's what David, what God called Solomon to do, what God called his people to do, and that's what he's calling you and I to do today. To seek him first before anything else, to make him the focus of our thoughts from the moment we rise to the moment we lay down. Tall order. And the third part of the thing was the word turn. And, I mean, my symbol, a U-turn is what's required. If our focus has shifted off God, and I'm looking at this, whatever it is over here, God says, turn around. Focus on me. Look in my face. What things is God speaking to you about that you need to turn away from? Because we've let our focus drift onto other things, other people, other events, other priorities, the new car I just bought, whatever it is. Follow from seeking God is turning back towards God, turning away from the things that have distracted me. What's been distracting you? It's so easy for me to get distracted. I struggle to keep focused, and yet that's what God is asking us to do. But there's the message that I see coming out from these words today. What I want you to take home, go to the third last slide, please. Yeah. God is saying to us, seek me first. Seek God before anything else. Seek only God, nobody else but God, and turn to God, turn toward God from anything that would distract you from him. Doesn't matter whether the distraction comes from here or from here, turn back, turn towards God. Once again, I mentioned before, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He wants us to seek his kingdom as the highest priority and thing that we take after. And turn our eyes upon Jesus. If you look at the way Jesus phrases it, in the New Testament, he says two commands. One was to love your God before any other God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the two things that he gave in commandment. And then towards the end of his ministry, he added on, and I preached this back in January. He talked very deeply about unity. And unity to him was the same image that we get when we look at the Father, the Trinity. God, Father, Son, and Spirit that are operating as a single unit. They're operating as one. We need to operate like that. Our thinking should be like that. Because we are in him and he is in us. And of course, pray. I was amazing to have that 40 hours of prayer. I know some of you, quite a number of you came here. And I'm sure a lot of people prayed at home where they were. But we need to keep it up. And I'm praying that some of you will come and join with us on a Wednesday night. Give us a yell and let us know if you're interested, because we don't pray off an agenda. We don't pray off a list. We listen to God. We wait to hear what He's saying to us. And we pray what He is putting in our hearts. And that's the challenge for me, is it's not just telling He knows what I'm already thinking, but I need to know what He's thinking. And that's the challenge. When we seek God and make Him the focus and shut down all the other stuff that's distracting us, then God is able to speak into our hearts. We're able to hear His voice. You hunger for the voice of God, take that time to shut everything down, focus on Him, seek Him, let Him be the center of your life, let Him be first in all you do. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You. That You weren't distracted from all of the pomp and ceremony of that opening of the temple. But even in that circumstances, You sit back and You said, yes, I hear You and I agree with You and I pray for You, but I warn You as well. And Lord, we listen to You. We've listened to Your voice. We know that You are speaking to us. So here today, Father, here today, we ask that You would forgive us, Father, for those times that we have allowed ourselves to become distracted. Whatever we're being distracted by, Lord, that is not Your will, because Your will is for us to be focused on You. And that's where we want to be, in the center of Your will for our lives, Your will for this church and for the ministry of this church, Father God. So we pray that You would help us to turn our eyes back to You. Lord, keep Your face before us. Daily, as we worship, as we live our lives, whether our lives are exciting like it was at the opening of the temple, whether we're going through hell on earth, Father, turn us back towards You, Lord, towards Your face, that we can be blessed by Your presence in our lives, by the promise that You give, that You will be with us, that You will hear our prayers, and that You will heal our land. And Father, help us to live walking in Your steps, walking in obedience to all of the things that You have spoken to us about. We need You first, Father, in our lives. And we promise that we will face towards You. Lord, we ask Your blessing this night, day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.